All right,
Right.
so welcome, Zach. So I think, like, first of all, let's kind of set the stage
Sure.
with what we're talking about. And so we're talking about the it
Ignatius
was
Forum.
yeah the Ignatius Forum, and the Ignatius family, I believe, is just a bunch of philanthropists, well-connected people in Washington who host these forums every now and then. And they had this forum at the Washington National Cathedral called
Right.
Our Future in Space, which was held yesterday evening. And they had a bunch of guests discussing the future of space. And it says, so I'll just read the description real quick so people get an overview. It says, "Space is a new frontier for humanity. NASA is planning a next generation of exploration. Scientists are debating the possibility of extraterrestrial life, and military planners are developing weapons for space warfare. What does this space rush mean? At a moment when private citizens are launching spaceships, and the Director of National Intelligence has released a report assessing unidentified aerial phenomenon. As we look towards the heavens, what does the possibility of life out there mean for our religious life?" And then they got a bunch of guests. First one that appeared was Bill Nelson, the head of NASA Administrator Bill Nelson, former
Right.
senator and former astronaut, I believe. And the Director of National Intelligence, Avril Haines, and then Jeff Bezos, head of Amazon and the Blue Origin space program, came on. And then finally they had Avi Loeb,
Right.
and David Wilkerson. And Avi Loeb is an astronomer who's written a book called Extraterrestrial and is setting up this program called the Galileo program to look into the possibility of getting a good photograph of a UFO, basically. That's the main
Right.
thrust of the program, as well as studying things like the Oumuamua interstellar object that flew through the solar system,
Yeah, kind of
like
a
a couple of years ago
sort of a
now.
general research thing trying to look for actual evidence of extraterrestrial life. Yeah.
Artifacts of extraterrestrial life. And
Yeah.
that's kind of like the difference between him and other people. Like, SETI searches for radio signals, and Avi Loeb wants to search for physical objects, physical
Right.
artifacts, and specifically ones that are within our solar system, like
Yeah.
if aliens have come to visit us. So that
Sure.
was he
Yeah,
was talking about. And then,
more power to him. Yeah, totally support it.
no, I'm I talked to him. I had him on the show like a few months ago. And I'd be all for getting more photographs of UFOs, because
Wouldn't we
I think it
all?
can only help if we get
Right.
better photographs. And then the final guy, David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson is a theologian and astrophysicist, British guy, I think. And he talked a bit about kind of the religious aspects of it, but he's
Yeah.
also an astrophysicist, so I guess he talked about some of the physics as well. But what we want to focus on mostly is kind of like, well, we had a little bit of a dust up on Twitter
Sure.
earlier, where you were talking about what Avril Haines, the Director of National Intelligence, was talking about, and you think that it's
Right.
very significant. And I was saying not. So why don't you give your take on it first, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. I mean, this is a very complicated and nuanced issue that I don't think can be hashed out easily over Twitter. The gist of how I feel about what is taking place right now with regards to the UAP issue is that I think so. If I come at it from your perspective, if I come at it from a skeptical position or attempt to try to put myself in the shoes of someone who, honestly, the general population, most people don't really take this stuff super seriously. Why is the US government doing any of this? Is kind of the question that I would have, right? So why is it that the Senate Intelligence Committee decided to look at this issue, use the term, the acronym UAP, which is known, it's associated, right, with this idea in the in pop culture at this point, thanks to TTSA and thanks to Lou Elizondo and Christopher Mellon, thanks to those people, that term, that acronym is directly associated with aliens, whether we like it or not, like it is, right? So whenever there's anything in the media having to do with UAP, anytime the government sneezes UAP, there is a barrage of headlines that come out of everybody, right? Everything from the tabloids, you know, to real reporting coming out of the New York Times, the Washington Post, et cetera, talking about this as if, you know, are we talking about aliens, right? And my argument is they must know at this point. Avril Haines must know at this point that when they're using this language and maybe appearing at this conference, they must know that what they are doing is they are signaling to a whole lot of people that, hey, this thing that you believe, that you, you know, a lot of people are ready and willing to believe, as you know, you're on UFO Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not throwing cold water on it. It's actually leaving the door wide open. Right?
Sure.
And this is kind of where I guess you and I, this is the crux of our disagreement. Is I do actually feel that it is someone's responsibility. I don't know who. I can't point you to
or someone.
Well, I mean, Avril Haines is a good example. Should the director of national intelligence knowingly be going to these conferences or talking about this issue or even issuing the UAP report, knowing that we're leaving this door wide open to the possibility of extraterrestrial life, right? Knowing that there are people out there who are going to fill in the blank of what's not in the report, right?
There are people out there, but you know how many people, I guess, is partly the issue there. You said obviously people are going to get excited, and I knew that people would get excited because every time someone talks about the topic, you know, people get excited. But if you look at the reaction to what's happened, I did a search of like news. I just did search for, I think, DNI and UAP, just those two terms together, and there was only one story. Up in Google News, which was the New York Post reprinting a story from the Sun, which is a trashy British tabloid who does, you know, like Bat Boy on the Moon type stories. So there's not been very much response yet, but within UFO Twitter, which is, you know, maybe a few thousand people, if that, there was some excitement. And, you know, you, I guess, exemplified that, you know, probably not the most excited, but, you know, you think there's definitely something there. You were more kind of, I think, angry than excited.
I'm not excited, exactly. And I, you know, this is, so there's going to be people who watch this and they're going to be a little bit frustrated with me because I come at this at this point a little bit differently, where I don't necessarily see confirmation of my personal feelings, right, about this issue, in everything that the government does, right? Every time they sneeze UAP, I don't necessarily interpret that as like a confirmation of all the things I've ever looked at that I think are interesting and weird. But there are a lot of people out there who do, right? And that is where my frustration comes from. I feel that the government is currently handling this issue in a very irresponsible way, where they are literally, so in the past, what they've done is they have thrown cold water on this issue. Anytime it's come up in the public sphere, anytime people have had questions about Roswell, the government ultimately issues something along the lines of nothing to see here. It's not aliens. This is not what you think it is. This is a glitch. This is blah, 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 right? And what we've had for the last several years is a different, this is now taking on a different tone. It's now taking on this tone of, actually, we're not saying it's not aliens anymore. We're not doing that. We're actually going to just be extremely vague. Now, and why is that irresponsible? Well, I think it's especially irresponsible at a time when you've got Christopher Mellon and you've got Lou Elizondo out there lobbying on this issue, and they are out right in front in public. They are going on, you know, media outlets, giving interviews, talking about this. Obviously, Lou Elizondo was connected to the, you know, UAP program, right? He was the director of it or whatever. And mm-hmm. there's all sorts of issues we could get into there. But like at this time, the idea that like people in the Pentagon are not aware of the way that this story tentacles out every single right. time they say anything, like the idea that they're not aware of that, and the idea
are aware of it though, aren't they? Like you've seen like the talking point memos that they have, the Navy office especially, because they've got so many inquiries, they had talking points, and they I think explicitly said somewhere in there that you know, anytime we say something, people get really excited and you have a deluge of inquiries. So it's probably best not to say anything. I think they basically said that, perhaps not in those, you know, straightforward words, but they were, you know, no comment is the default thing.
Yeah. And that's interesting because they are, I mean, it's like, okay, you feel that way, right? It's like, oh, you know, but then you're not doing anything about it. You're not really coming out and clarifying anything for the public, and you're seriously not. So you're continuing to use the UAP acronym. That's one thing. And that's something I can get into.
That acronym, like, you know, you say like acronym is associated with aliens and stuff like now because of it being a popular culture.
It is.
Wasn't the whole idea of UAP to get away from that? Like we had UFO before and everyone thought UFO was the green man.
Yeah,
and it's now a way we to say try UAPs. To, so, I mean, what term should they have used? Like unidentified vehicles? Because, like, whatever you do, we're talking about things that are flying around in the sky that are not immediately identifiable. That's what a UAP is, which is a very simple definition. It could include like a whole number of things, including, you know, anything like fairly exotic, like a foreign drone, or things that are fairly simple, like, I don't know, a balloon or something like that. That's just too far away for the pilot to actually see. They're all UAPs. But, you know, you say it's got that association, but if you use a different term, you're going to, so how can they say anything at all about the topic?
Totally. So I want to be super clear about a couple things. So one, I actually like UAP. I think it's a good term. I think it's better than UFO because it encompasses more things. Unfortunately, the world that we live in, though, is one where the way that this particular acronym was popularized was through To the Stars Academy, was through Lou Elizondo. So, I mean, actually, the beginning of it was, you know, in America, at least, Hillary Clinton saying it, you know, oh, the new nomenclature for this is UAP. And then To the Stars Academy and Lou Elizondo and Christopher Mellon and Unidentified and all that, right?
Sure. So that was, what can you do?
So totally.
How can you get around that?
So that's America. That's America's introduction to the term UAP is like, oh, okay. So they're using a new term for UFO. Ha ha. Whatever. But the people that are using that term the most, and the people that are popularizing that term, are people who do think that this is something that represents a very weird thing. I'm not going to use any particular language. Like we could be talking about ET, we could be talking about something from Earth, we could be talking about all interdimensional, whatever. It doesn't really matter to me. But the point is that the people that have been pushing this the most are people who do feel very strongly that it is representative of something that is weird. They mean something pretty specific when they're talking about this. And the idea that the Pentagon is like continuing to use this term in a public realm without the clarification of what they mean, that is the thing that bothers me.
They define it. So, like, you know, in this Gillibrand amendment, which we're going to come to later, they actually they put a definition. I think it's right at the bottom of it. Let me just scroll down to it. This is a remarkably long thing. So it says the term unidentified aerial phenomena means airborne objects that are not immediately identified. Right, straight away they've kind of got it wrong, because it's not just airborne objects, it's phenomena.
It's phenomena.
So it,
literally,
it's
right there in the acronym,
ball of light or something, they messed it up. And then transmedium objects or devices, or and submerged objects or devices that are not immediately identifiable and display behaviors or performance characteristics suggesting they may be related to the subjects described in subparagraphs A or B. I mean, it's like a ridiculous
muddling. Sort of doesn't that sort of add to the confusion, though? And that kind of underlines the point that I'm making here, which is like, so if I'm, look, if I'm in the U.S. government, if I'm in the Pentagon, and I'm looking at this playing out, I see the articles that get written in the aftermath of every time we drop the UAP acronym, I do one of two things. Right. I either clarify really specifically like what this means and what it doesn't mean, or I start using a different freaking acronym at this point. UAV would work just as well, like unidentified aerial vehicle.
I tell this story about how in Britain we used to call other kids in the playground spaz. Thing made sure for spastic, and there was a spastic society in Britain.
Okay.
And the spastic society changed their name to the Scopes Society, and so the kids started calling each other Scopers, because the new word took on the term, took on the meaning of what it's referring to. Now we're talking about something, a topic. Now, is it actually possible to extricate like this serious study of UFOs or whatever, serious study of something? And define it in such a way that it excludes things that will lead to talk about aliens.
Sure.
I really feel that it's not. And you know, complaining about UAP, if you bring in a new term, it's just going to take a little while. It'd be like a little stopgap before it becomes infected by the same meaning as the previous term. Because you're talking about a thing. That we all know what we're talking about, which is unidentified things in the air.
We don't know what
they are. What they are, and they might be aliens. And everybody knows that this might be aliens, and different people give different possibilities to them. A lot of people it's near zero, and for some people it's maybe 50-50, or for some people they think absolutely the 100% some of these things are aliens. But this is what we're talking about. We're talking about a thing, I'm hesitating to use the word phenomena because people think phenomena means something phenomenal or amazing, but it just means a thing that happens, like weather phenomena and things like that. So, I think perhaps like saying they're wading into this UAP thing and using the term without clarifying it. Let's talk about what Avril Haines' question. She was asked about the UAP report. Okay. And, I think, she was asked by the host about this report and said, you studied these 144 things, you put them into five categories. One of them was they didn't, I don't think they specified what the categories were, but we know what they are. The first one is airborne clutter, like birds and balloons. The second one is atmospheric phenomena, like clouds and lights and electrical stuff. The third one is American technology, like secret military tests or secret tests by American companies. The fourth one is the same thing, but foreigners, like trying to sneak in on spy on us with their fancy technology. And then the fifth one is other, which everyone thinks is where the aliens might live in this other category. But it might just be stuff that we just don't understand yet, like very strange aerial phenomena we don't know about, or just something we haven't thought of yet. I don't know what that would be because it's unknown, but so she was asked about that, and from my perspective, the answer that she gave up until the very end of her answer was essentially a recap of the UAP report,
right,
which is this report that the ONI, the Office of National Intelligence, produced, and it was released back in like May, I think, of this year. Was it June this year? Some time ago this year. It was June. So she basically went through and said, she said, like, we don't understand what we're seeing. There's lots of different categories, and we need better information gathering. We need to get a more consistent way of reporting the information. We need to do better ways of integrating the data and collecting information from different sensors. The main issues that Congress and others have been concerned about are basically safety of flight concerns and counterintelligence issues. And that's basically like the report, and that's the conclusions of the report. And then she says her final thing, which everyone's getting excited about. But of course, there's always the question of, is there something else that we simply do not understand that might come extraterrestrially? And she kind of stumbled over the word extraterrestrially, yeah. Which is understandable because it's, I have to be careful there to pronounce it. But she said, you know, basically, there's a question as if there's something that might come extraterrestrially. Seems a rather a strange way of phrasing it. But I mean, essentially, it's meaning that what we're looking at is something that's come from space, which pretty much implies that it's some kind of alien spaceship.
And yeah, either something from space or something. Yeah. So I you know, the way that I've come to kind of talk about this, everyone gets they trip over themselves. Like, is it aliens? Is it interdimensional? Is it that? Is this? Is that? Ah, weird shit. That's what I'm. Is it weird shit or not? You know, and that's I kind of get right to the point. I don't really care. Is it aliens? Is it this? Is it that? No. My question is, did we eliminate the possibility of a terrestrial normal within the bounds of our everyday language explanation?
Right.
Or is it so weird that it's now in this category of weird stuff? Like that cannot be. Right. Yeah, and to me, like, the answer to that should actually be relatively straightforward, but it isn't for reasons of national
security. Okay, that's a good point. So obviously what we're looking for something is something that's unambiguously weird.
The exact way that I would put it.
Yeah, and this is what I would like. I would like to see, you know, two videos of a flying saucer from different directions, or like a really good, high resolution photo, like, and lots of different eyewitness accounts, or multiple photos of the same thing, or, you know, but something that's unambiguous evidence.
Something displaying any of the five observables outside of the low observability one, which obviously is like, oh, well, it's too far away. We can't figure it out. But we're looking for something. Yeah. That's doing something that makes absolutely no sense within any kind of, you know, normal convention. And again, for me, it's like this is where I get caught on all of this, because either it's weird or it isn't, and they either know or they don't. And to me, that part of this entire conversation is so straightforward, and the vagaries around this are extraordinarily frustrating.
I feel like they are saying that they don't know.
Yeah.
Isn't that the report is?
Well,
it's like saying we don't have enough information, more study needed. Yeah, we don't know if there's something unambiguously vague.
Then she says, if you want to know she essentially alludes, I can't remember the exact quote, she alludes, like, if you want to know the stuff that I can't tell you, you'd have to come work for us.
Right.
Right. And this is that's on one hand, it's like a funny quip. On the other hand, it's like, from my perspective, this is an irresponsible game. Mm. And the reason why I describe it that way is because it's been going on now for several years. They've had time to see how this plays out. Again, every time they mention UAP, every time they generate a report, every time Lou Elizondo goes on TV, whatever, they've had time to kind of get their shit together and their story straight on this. And the reason why, Mick, why UFO Twitter, they go apeshit every time something happens, is because the people in positions of leadership and the officials and the representatives, they are leaving this door wide open for us to do that. And I guess I don't get it. I don't really get it. Why are they doing that?
I kind of agree, but let me say what that looks like from my perspective. As a not really so much a skeptic, just as someone who's not, you know, a believer that there actually is some extraordinary evidence out there, or a believer, someone who doesn't put as much weight on the subject as you. For me, it feels like, and it always has felt like, that they don't really care about the UFO community. I don't think the military really cares, you know, what you think or what I think, or even really so much what the Sun thinks or what the New York Post thinks. They might care a bit more about what the New York Times think, but, you know, they didn't really step in to clarify that either. So I think that they don't really see this, this confusion and this misplaced excitement, or this correctly placed excitement, depending on your perspective, as being an issue that they need to address. That they seem to see it as more of an annoyance that, you know, they go, oh my God, it's the UFO people again.
Sure.
Because it sounds like I'm belittling the UFO community there, but I understand the UFO community's interest in the topic, and I understand how it must be very frustrating when you feel like you're not taken seriously. But the UFO community is really the serious UFO people. Like, you know, like I said, UFO Twitter is a few thousand people at most, and you know, the active people on UFO Twitter, you know most of them. It's a very small community, and it's mostly like guys between the age of 20 and 40, 45 or something like that.
Yeah, look,
I'm one of the old dudes.
I make the point all the time that there's often this feeling or belief amongst people on UFO Twitter that our actions seem to cause things to happen. I don't agree with that assessment of what I've seen play out over the last several years. I actually see a situation in which we have had no agency in whatever is going on. There are people who are lobbying government from the outside who used to be part of government, and things are happening.
Mellon.
Right. Mellon and Lou and others. So as far as like what we're doing to contribute or to make things happen, I don't see it that way. And that's why I describe it as sort of, it feels like a game at this point, especially if you're someone who's been involved or super interested in this topic. This is the most frustrating time maybe ever, because we're always on this cusp of this, again, these vagaries of language coming out of the Pentagon regarding this issue, not at any point saying it 100% is not this. And then to leave the door wide open and say, there might be, there could be some weird, we might have data confirming something weird, but we're not going to tell you that's classified now. And then, my question is, why is any of this public at all? So just thinking this thing through logically, if it's drones or it's foreign tech or it's this or it's that, why is there a public conversation happening about this at all? Because my understanding of intelligence is that that's the kind of thing that you don't want our adversaries to know, that we're stumped about a thing that they have. Like, that's insane.
What if it's birds and balloons?
What's that?
What if it's birds and balloons? The number one thing listed in the UFO report is that it's just airborne clutter.
And if that's their leading feeling or hunch, then I'm even more confused, because then why are you saying that we suck at identifying birds and balloons?
Like, I think there's a perfectly good reason for why we suck at identifying birds and balloons. I mean, we don't. If there was a bird sat on my monitor right here, then I would be able to identify it. But if there's a bird like 2 miles over there flying in the sky, it looks like a white speck. And if I'm in a fighter jet and I see, you know, something like a large balloon or something that's off in the distance, you can't immediately identify it. I mean, UAP, the definition of UAP is generally something that's not immediately identifiable. Yeah. Maybe you could fly over there and identify it, but maybe you're going in a different direction and you turn to look at it and it's gone or whatever. But I'm not trying to argue that they're all birds or balloons, obviously, but you're saying like it's not a dichotomy between a topic that's like, you know, seeps in classified information because it's all about foreign adversary drones, or it's, you know, nothing, or it's average aliens. There's a whole bunch of things. I think the military would prefer not to talk about it, and they're being kind of like shoehorned into by this lobbying.
Yeah, I agree with that. And just to be clear, I think that, and again, this will be unpopular amongst people that I know. I think that it is possible that what we're looking at is just a clusterfuck. So I don't know if I could swear on your channel, I think we might be just looking at a clusterfuck of multiple things that are going on. This is kind of like your hypothesis with what's going on with like the Nimitz incident, right? I think it's possible that the military knows about foreign drones, say, advanced stuff. They don't really want to talk about that.
Yeah, definitely.
But there are different compartments of people. Like you have witnesses on the Nimitz that see a thing. They don't know what it is, but the people that really do know are not going to talk about it. But there's witnesses talking about it, therefore all of this, right? So like there's ways that I can imagine that all of this sort of happens from chasing our own shadows, you know, and chasing our own tail. Now, my problem still, though, even if that's the case, and I'm not even saying that that's what I believe, I'm just saying it's possible. Even if that's all the case, at some point, I feel that there is a situation here where they are creating a problem for themselves, an unforced error of judgment. And again, we can agree or disagree, but there are literal UFO cults out there. There are actually dangerous people out there that any time that they can zero in on something that the government actually in fact did or did say. And this UFO thing is perfect because they're saying, well, we're not saying it's not aliens. We're not saying this, but that's like a confirmation for so many radical, dangerous groups. And I'm not talking about the ones that we see today. I'm talking about the potential, right? QAnon took a while to percolate and to come up, right? And it was built off of a bunch of things, right? And it ultimately was nothing. There actually was no Q. But the point is that it doesn't take a lot to for people to be radicalized by vagaries, by things that seem to confirm what you believe. So I'm wondering, why is the government creating this problem for themselves? You're literally giving people gallons and gallons of fuel for their conspiracy theories, and allowing them to fill in the blanks with all sorts of dangerous ideas, or to listen. So there's a loon in the UFO community who's making a bunch of claims. They say everything from I'm a time traveler from the future to I know the prophecy of the thing that's going to happen next week. Their evidence, their proofs become, well, look at what the government is doing, right? And then unfortunately, an unfortunate reality is there are people that are vulnerable enough to buy into that loon, that person that's out there doing that thing and saying that. So it's not a matter of like, I feel that the government ought to be more responsible. It's not a matter of, are they or aren't they or whatever. I feel very, very strongly that they need to get this issue under control, right? Because look, what am I? I'm just someone who's really interested in the UFO topic. And what I don't want to see is more BS and more disinformation and more cult of personality, more cult type of behavior. I don't want to see that stuff. I don't want to see more of that. And this, what the government is doing, is actually fueling more of what I don't want, right? Mm. I actually do want the evidence of ET. I actually do want the weird information out of the government. But if the way that the game is going to get played is we're going to be really, really vague and we're actually just going to pour fuel on conspiracy theorists and we're not going to actually answer your question, then no, I actually would prefer that all of this would come to a halt. Because I think that is potentially so dangerous and bad. Anyway, that's my...
Do you understand where I'm coming at it from? So to sum up your argument, you think that the government's being irresponsible in letting drips of information out and not clarifying what they mean. Yeah. And this is giving false hope to people who... or at least ammunition to people who will then use it to further their cults or to start new cults. And this can lead to bad things. The biggest example of that, obviously, is the Heaven's Gate cult, which was a UFO cult, very much so. It wasn't just like, you know, the UFOs at the end. It was UFOs for like 20 years, and then they all killed themselves.
Well, and you can imagine how the Heaven's Gate cult, if they existed today, how they would use this information to integrate into their thing that ultimately resulted in a bunch of people taking their own lives. And I think that sucks, right? Like,
I think it's a bit, I don't know though. I think it's a difficult argument to make that it's going to cause such harm. I think like
there's a potential.
If you go to the military and you say, you know, you got to clarify this UFO thing. Otherwise we're going to get a whole bunch of cults in the future and people might kill themselves or blow up the Pentagon.
Well, I mean, I can give
a concrete, probably going to laugh at you.
I can give a concrete example right now, you know, Dr. Stephen Greer, right? Now, sure. While he hasn't caused anyone to off themselves, there are a lot of people who believe that there's a coming government, you know, false alien
disclosure.
Invasion. Well, no, his big thing is that the government is going to, when the UFOs come, don't trust it because Wernher von Braun said blah, 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 right? Like it's fake. It's not going to be real. Yeah. And that they're going to use this and it will be a fake alien invasion. And this is their, they're going to come in for total control. It just, I don't know where that leads. I don't know if Dr. Stephen Greer is going to cause people to actually do something stupid. But the point is that there's a potential there. And anytime there's a potential there, that's the thing that bothers me.
Well, I think though with Stephen Greer, the problem is if you're a follower of Stephen Greer and you go to these CE5 things, you will get what seems to you to be unequivocal evidence of aliens. Like you'll see lights in the sky and you'll feel a great peace come over your soul as the alien beings communicate with you. And there's lots of people, you know, they pay their $2,000 and go into the desert and he teaches them how to meditate. And then they think that they have some kind of communion with aliens.
Points at a satellite and says it's a UFO.
Yeah. But they're deep believers. So in that sense, it's not going to matter what the government does. Because the government does nothing, it's just like they're covering it up even more. Yeah. But if the government is making what appears to be a good faith effort at investigating it and then doesn't really find something and makes a bit of a crappy job of explaining what they're doing, I don't really see that as being fuel to the fire for the Stephen Greer disciples.
Well, but it is, though, because, again, either it is, either they're, is weird data, like genuine, what I would say unambiguously weird.
But either they have it. The disciples already have the weird data. And it's, what do they care about what the government has? They assume that the government has it already.
The most vulnerable people out there that are sort of willing to believe whatever, yes, they have it. But I'm talking about everybody else. And this is what I mean by, so these things can spread. So on one layer, you have the most vulnerable people that buy into Stephen Greer. On another layer, you have the people that are like, okay, I need some evidence. Well, some evidence is the US government is investigating this and look, they're doing things, right? So it's just it's more layers of things. It's an entry point for a lot of people to come into this and go, well, I didn't even care about this issue before, but now I do. Now it's on 60 Minutes. This has been an entry point for a lot of people that did not care previously. I talk to people every day who say to me, Zach, I didn't really care about this until I saw XYZ. Now I'm taking it seriously. I see you're interested. Like you're a serious person. Tell me what's really going on. And of course I tell them, I don't know what the hell's going on, but I too am interested.
What do you think the government should do in like, say there's two cases here, like either they have evidence, unambiguous evidence of strangeness, or they don't have unambiguous evidence. They have like this bunch of, dots in the distance and pilots giving reports of weird things happening that can't be corroborated. Yeah. So there's two cases there, A and B. So for case A, if they have that evidence, what should they do right now?
It's a really great question because it's, this is part of why so many people in the UFO realm really buy into this is because, well, like what would you do? You probably wouldn't release it all at once. It would be something that you'd want to reveal slowly. Again, it feeds into the whole damn thing.
What which one do you think? Well, assess it.
Sure.
So yeah, they want to release it slowly. They want to manage expectations
manage,
and stuff.
Manage the
and,
narrative, and yeah, which is probably true.
That's what people are saying. What's going on with this thing in the church and then at Washington National Cathedral? Like they had the whole religious aspect of it there, as if they were trying to like soften the blow to religion.
Prepare the religious people right? Say. I mean, like on one hand, it's like the UFO people read that into it. On the other hand, it's really on the nose and actually really close to, you know what I'm saying? And that's where this gets. It's genuinely kind of complicated, and it's not something that can be hashed out, like I said, just you and I debating over Twitter. This is a complicated conversation. Again, optics. It's like, at what point does Avril Haines say, the optics of me showing up at a conference where several people were talking about the possibility of extraterrestrial life, is this the most responsible thing that I can do?
Yeah. Is it? They do have it. Do you think is this what they're doing right now? Yes. Suppose this is like their attempt at soft disclosure. Do you think they're doing it right, or is there a better way they could?
No, I don't think they're doing it right. My view is it would be better if there is unambiguous data of something weird and it's not a foreign adversary or whatever. I think the better way to do it would just be to do it. Just come out with it. Just say. Right. So an example that I give is like, so with the Nimitz incident, my opinion of the Nimitz incident is that someone knows. Right. And we could go back and forth about that, but like someone knows there were data bricks. There were dozens of sensor systems. Like we have no access to any of that, but someone does or did or whatever. Maybe the data doesn't exist anymore, right? Maybe it turned out it was balloons, as you say, or whatever, and they just threw the data aside and were like, screw it. But also it's classified because, you know, classified sensor systems. But someone somewhere, in my opinion, is able to clarify that one way or the other. If it were unambiguously weird data, they saw an object go from here to really, really high up, to like back down, like whatever, any one of those things that was claimed that these objects did, if they had hard, unambiguously weird data showing that it did that from multiple sensor systems, it's like, okay, like if you have it, then release that. Now, if they don't, maybe it's unambiguously weird and it scared the shit out of them and they don't know what to do. That's another possibility. I don't know. But this particular, like what feels to me like a game, it's not a lot of fun. I know UFO Twitter, they like enjoy the drip of things that come out and whatever, but to me it's, again, either the unambiguously weird stuff is there or it isn't, and anything in between, either saying it's not there or it is there, is just sort of a kind of game.
You think they're being too equivocating right now, like, so
yeah,
so that you kind of gave the scenario there for if they did have the evidence, but say there's no evidence whatsoever that's unambiguous, and they can't tell you for sure that there's something weird going on, and it's more or less as they describe in the UAP report, like need more data type of thing. How are they not handling it correctly, if that is the case?
Now, if what is the case?
If it is the case that they just don't have enough data to make a determination that something strange is going on, you know, like basically what I think, you know, the skeptic's point of view, it doesn't seem like there are you know, strange things flying around in the sky. We don't have the data. If that is the case, how is their response right now and the way they're acting failing, and how could they do better?
Well, they could simply say they could look at the data and they could say there is no unambiguously weird data here. That something along those lines, or
isn't that kind of in the report? Isn't that really what the report says, though?
It doesn't.
They don't say it in those words, but
right. I mean, they
equivocate.
Look, you know the problem with that report as well as I do. People, it's a choose your own adventure report. So if you're you, it's like it's all there. It's like, oh well, it's possibilities or glitches, blah 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 blah, birds, balloons, whatever. If you want to believe in aliens, that's also there in those 18 cases where they saw some weird stuff that didn't make any sense. Like that report,
right,
is literally a choose your own adventure report. And that's actually my problem with it is it's, and look, it was a preliminary report and they probably did not have their time to get their shit together and get out something sure. that was good. There's a question of how much access to data did they have? Did they actually have access to the data bricks from the Nimitz incident, or forget the Nimitz incident, any one of the 144 or whatever cases? Did they actually have access to the raw data? And it sounds like they kind of maybe didn't. That's a problem.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they were an investigative body. Yeah. I think people make much of the fact that they solved one of the cases and it was a balloon. I think that's just like one of the cases just happens to be solved by someone while they were looking into it. That's just like the one
where it just was unambiguously pretty clearly a balloon. Like then the surface level data showed someone looked at it. Yeah, someone looked at it and they were like, "Oh, that's definitely a balloon." Hey. And maybe they got access to just enough data to prove, "Yeah, that's definitely a balloon."
Yeah.
But there's a question about how much data did they have access to for any of those other cases. And you look at the amount of time that it took to generate that report, and it's almost impossible that they could have gotten enough information, right? So
sure. And like an actual investigation of these things takes a lot of time. And probably, the reason we have UFOs is that we have ambiguous data. Like if all data was unambiguous, there wouldn't be any UFOs. Yeah. So you're starting out with the best cases, essentially, the most ambiguous things, the things that exist just on the boundary of looking a little bit interesting, but still being ambiguous. And, they couldn't really push the boundary back very much with those cases. But I forgot where I'm going with that. But like the report, I think, from my perspective, which of course is, just completely at odds with UFO Twitters, is that they're saying we only have ambiguous data. Mm-hmm. Right? 'Cause in all the cases, they said we need more study. We can't tell if this means anything. Like we might need to invent new science to understand, this because we, that sounds, I guess that kind of sounds unambiguously strange a little, but I don't think it really is because it's really just, it's like, say you've got a mysterious stain on something and you actually need to get a more powerful microscope to look at what it actually is. It doesn't mean it means you don't have the resolving power to figure out what something is. But that's what my perspective is. And I think that goes over to Avril Haines's statement. And she's just basically repeating that, like, there are things in the air, we don't know what they are. Like Obama said, there are things flying around.
She went to a conference where Avi Loeb was speaking. Like, okay,
she did,
and that that's a conscious decision. And I'm not. It's not a matter of like I'm trying to read into that. It's more like it's so on the nose that you could not. It's impossible to just. So improbable to me that she looked at who was speaking at that conference, what it was going to be about, and didn't have a moment of like, should I do this?
Well, there was Jeff Bezos there, and he gave a really long, boring talk about humans going and living in space.
We all tuned out for that. No one was listening for that part of it.
I listened to it, but it was basically science fiction. We're going to have a trillion people in space and space constructs, and it's going to be great. And then Avi Loeb comes in and he's like, I don't think we should go into space. I think we should just send robots into space and we should all live here because, we were designed by nature to live on the planet. So they had a whole bunch of very different people.
They did.
Just because Avi Loeb was there, it doesn't mean that she kind of endorses his viewpoints. Yeah, the other guy was David Wilkerson or something. Mm-hmm. He thought that aliens were not visiting. Yeah, because he was asked explicitly. And I think, what's his
but
name?
There were, the, but
Bill Nelson.
Bill Nelson. Aliens were brought up a lot throughout the course of the conference. I don't remember if it was posed to Bezos or not. I think he might have been dismissive. He might have said.
Yeah, I don't think he mentioned aliens. But I think he's the type of guy who would not be that into it because he's a very nuts and bolts guy. And I think like Elon Musk, he assumes that if there are aliens, he would know about it because he's, you know, the richest man in the world and he has these incredible resources and he's got his fingers in lots of pies.
Unless they're in on it, Mick.
Oh yeah, of course.
These rich people. I'm joking, but you know, that's what people really, there's a lot of people who really think that. It's like, oh well, if they're playing dumb, that must mean they're in on it. And hey, maybe. One reason why I think you and I get along is that ultimately I actually am a pretty evidence-driven person. Now, there's all sorts of weird things that I'm willing to kind of entertain on my own or even things that I personally believe. But when it comes to like what I want to discuss in a public realm on this issue, I try to actually be as evidence driven as possible. To chagrin of UFO Twitter, I hold you up. I actually say there's nothing this guy can do to harm us. He is literally, what do? You debunk things and you say, you try to debunk things and then you give a list in order of likelihood of what things probably are versus probably not. There's nothing you can do to harm any of us, you know, and I appreciate what you do and there's nothing that you can do other than force me to ask better, sharper questions and to, you know, try to better understand like ways to sort of reframe the conversation to get closer to something like a productive conversation. I don't think I can alter what's going to happen in government, but I can give an opinion that what they're currently doing in my view, and we can disagree. Yeah. I think that this is kind of an irresponsible game that they're playing. Now, in the grand scheme of everything going on in the world, obviously COVID and actual foreign threats and all these different things going on, this is, I admit, very small. But my point is, for someone like me who tries to take the UFO topic seriously, I can't think of a better argument to make at the moment other than, other than, the government is handling this in a very deeply irresponsible way. And it has some potentially bad downsides and I don't get it. I don't really get it. And maybe I'm reading way too much into this, but yeah.
Do you think if they knew that aliens were visiting us, they would handle it the way they are handling it?
Again, that's possible, right? So what we discussed earlier, it's possible that they conclude that like some group of people,
it be like really important, you say it's like a small thing, it's not important because it's just like a few guys getting sucked into cults or whatever.
And
a bit of terrorism, but
so for the people,
if it's aliens,
so for the people that this is confirming for the people out there that this is like something that's adding more fuel to, like, I definitely believe that the government has been covering up aliens. What they're seeing is, oh, of course, this is exactly the way that the government would do it. It would be slow drip, and they would be slowly preparing, and it would be a small issue at first, but they'd be slowly planting the seeds. And of course they would show up at a religious place to talk about it in terms of preparing the religious people and all that stuff. And, you know, they can cite, that one report that said all the religious people would go crazy if it turned out that they were aliens. Like, yeah, of course this is how the government would do it.
Yeah. Now, it's like David Wilkerson was just there to smooth it over. No, you'll be fine.
So
God will be understand.
Do I feel that this is the way that the government would handle it if they had this information? I don't know. If I'm being honest with you, Mick, none of it makes any damn sense. Right. From my perspective, this is all such a mess, which leads me maybe more into this is just a clusterfuck of a lot of different things, some of which are related, other of which are not, of stuff that has all kind of gotten smudged together. That's the best I've got right now. But also I do think that at this point, like I yeah, I want some answers. I think that the people that are the most invested and interested in this topic deserve better than this vague fueling of conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Right? And again,
why do you deserve better? I mean, it would be great and everything. Yeah,
well, but... I mean, just because we're all citizens and we all pay sure. taxes and we all deserve,
But again, isn't that, like you say, I mean, it's almost like you're saying like the UFO Twitter people deserve better. We're talking about such a small amount of people.
Well, the UFO
should
Twitter
the government
people,
step out of its way.
Well, I'm going to actually
satisfy a small group.
No, so it's actually to satisfy a lot much larger group than UFO Twitter. I guess what I would argue is, again, when it elevates to the level of it's on 60 Minutes, I'm not talking just about UFO Twitter.
Right.
I'm talking,
yeah.
And you know, I'll say this: yeah, UFO Twitter is small, but the more that I tell random people, like, hey, I've got a podcast, I talk about UFOs and weird shit. A lot more people are invested and interested in this than will say so. I think that there's more interest out there than is obvious. Mm-hmm. And that's why anytime someone writes a headline, like it gets clicked on relentlessly. I think it is bigger than UFO Twitter. Now, UFO Twitter represents the people that are the most invested, that are sort of willing to talk about it every damn day of their lives. Yeah. Whereas everybody else kind of has to get back to their lives. But
yes, indeed.
I think a lot of people are interested. And it's not just owed to the UFO Twitter people, although I do think that the government should care because of all the things that I mentioned before. There's a lot of potential, very bad downside. Yeah. Like, do they want to be responsible for the next Heaven's Gate? Do they want to be responsible mm-hmm. for another QAnon type situation? We don't have to guess whether or not conspiracy culture can lead to bad outcomes, you know? And I just think that more more responsibility should be exercised here in terms of how we're going to discuss this going forward, how we're going to communicate with the public going forward. Again, you know, it comes down to interpretate your own personal feeling or interpretation as to how dangerous or bad that could really be. But yeah, I think it is very, very bad the way that it's currently being handled. And I think they could do a lot better. I think we all deserve a lot better. UFO Twitter deserves a lot better. I think the American public deserve a lot better.
Do you think the Gillibrand Amendment is part of that doing better?
So, I mean, that amendment is that's sort of its own conversation. I don't know.
Right.
What do you think?
Well,
how do you feel about that amendment in general? I don't think we've talked about this.
No, it just kind of came out of nowhere. And it's very interesting. Like, essentially what it's doing is this establishing this office, which is a pretty big deal, I think. The advisory committee. We talked briefly earlier about how they had a wacky interpretation of the term UFO because they needed to shoehorn things that are under the sea into UAP. And then they have this committee called the Aerial and Transmedium Phenomena Advisory Committee.
Right.
Maybe they should have called it the ATP instead of the Aerial and Transmedium Phenomena. And it's like 20 people on the committee and people from NASA, people from the FAA, National Science of Science, and the people from Avi Loeb and people from the SCU.
Okay,
it's a bit strange.
I'll give you my take on this, which again is not going to go over with the people, some of the people that I know, not everybody. There's some people that like what I have to say and other people who don't, but I don't want this. I don't want that. That amendment is not good to me. Unless if data of something unambiguously weird is presented, I see no justification. So, I'm not coming at that as a UFO person. I'm coming at that as your average discerning person who wants to know whether or not their money is being spent in the right place. Do I want our government to just be sort of like playing UFO LARPing? I guess because if the data's there, then great. Investigate those things. Like if the data shows that there's something unambiguously weird and there's a reason to do all the things that are in that amendment, then great. But we don't have that data. We don't even have a confirmation that such data exists. You've got the Nimitz witnesses out there sort of being hung out to dry. They're out there saying that these things happen, but the government isn't coming out and confirming that one specific case, which is another problem that I have with that UAP report. There's nothing specific in it. Like, people draw the conclusion, this means that the Nimitz case was definitely weird. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't talk about that case. You know, this situation all, if I'm being honest with you, it all sucks, you know?
Yeah, but like you know, you say you only would want it if it had unambiguous data of strangeness, but
yeah,
surely there's a lot of UAPs under the definition of UAP that are still very important national security issues,
yeah,
without being strange things.
I guess,
like even airspace clutter and then foreign already, drones and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but no, but we're already investigating all that. I guess this is why you think we would be. Well, it's not that I would think that we would be. It's like, I know we must be. And maybe that's a bit far too big of a leap for me to make. I don't think it is. It's like, obviously, we're already looking at foreign capabilities. We're already looking at space debris. If it turns out that we suck so much that we weren't looking at those things, we've got a way bigger problem, as Lou Elizondo might say, right? Like that.
Yeah.
What this seems to me to be is like, there are people in government who do think that it's possible that it's aliens and that they want to keep this going. It's like, okay, but that's great. I think that's great. If you want to keep it going because you think it might be aliens, then fantastic. Show me the unambiguously weird data that justifies your actions here. That's the crux of it for me.
Reading this for me, it's almost like it's written by somebody outside of government. And it's based on like the kind of the popular understanding of the issue
the talking points. You know,
the talking points, stuff that like Lou Elizondo will say in public.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be based on any kind of knowledge about what's actually going on. It's almost like they're like, you know, like someone like you, and they're saying like, oh, you should tell us about these things.
Well,
and we should do a better job of studying them.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. If the government came out tomorrow and they said we have unambiguously weird data confirming the, you know, say the testimony of the Nimitz witnesses, let's say they did that, we can't release the actual data because sources, methods, blah, blah, blah. Right. But they at least make the middle step, there's a middle step that's possible, which the middle step would be, yes, unambiguously, the craft did this and that, and we can't show you that, but we're saying today that actually is a thing. And would you then support such an amendment? Like at that point, I agree. Yes, let's do this.
First of all, I kind of support it anyway because I think it's going to produce more information.
Sure.
But I also kind of don't support it because I don't really see the need for it, and it kind of seems to me like it's tinged with this woo. But the issue you raise there, if like someone came out and said we have unambiguous data, I don't know that I would.
You don't know that you'd trust it.
Because like. Yeah, because I don't trust things that the government says. I'm not like a conspiracy theorist. I just recognize that they get things wrong. And
weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the deliberate, like misrepresentation of the data, but I think there's accidental misrepresentations too. Two things come to mind. One is the Chilean case, which people say, oh, that's just the Chileans, but it's the Chilean military, not a fairly high level, retired generals and whatnot, that did a committee very like the one that's in front of me in the Gillibrand amendment, of a bunch of experts from different domains. And they just messed up, this investigation into this one case of the Chilean Navy UFO, which was just a plane leaving some contrails departing Santiago Airport, they announced to the world that it was unambiguously unidentified.
Mm-hmm.
And they eliminated everything, and it was a genuine unknown, they called it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is completely separate from UFOs, the Havana syndrome thing.
Sure.
That, I think, has panels of experts who, well, we have competing panels of experts now. We have, mm-hmm. Panels of experts who are pushing the kind of politically acceptable answer, which is that it is the Russians beaming us with secret weapons. And then you've got the more prosaic answer, which lots of people come up with, which I agree with, which is probably some kind of mass psychogenic illness, like a type of mass hysteria.
Everything.
And so just, if you get a panel coming out saying something, I'm not going to necessarily just believe them. We've got to have some way of confirming that.
And I think it's worth noting everything that I've said regarding UFO, UAP, those issues also applies to the Havana syndrome. Now, I haven't looked as deeply into the Havana syndrome, but again, it comes down to either you have unambiguously weird data showing that the Havana syndrome is this, or you don't. And if you don't, then we have to lean more towards more plausible explanations. And this is another one of those ones where I think the government has been kind of irresponsible in terms of how to handle that. And part of the problem
I think it's different though.
It is okay.
I think it's different because they don't have this to the same degree, this veil of secrecy, this default classification of things. And I think we do actually have people who think that there is unambiguous data, and they'll come out and say, yeah, we've got this unambiguous data of white matter changes in the brains of people. Mm-hmm. We've got this unambiguous set of symptoms or whatever, that we've got unambiguous like reports of sounds happening followed by symptoms. They think it's unambiguous, and they're saying that. And they're saying absolutely the simplest explanation here is this secret weapon. But we're not seeing that on the UFO side. We're not seeing anybody championing that from within the government.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have these competing interests. We have this secrecy, and we have this facade, essentially, which could be true, could be not, of them saying, yeah, we don't really know. It's ambiguous. So, I don't think it's they're doing the same type of bad job. It's a different type of bad job in that they are relying on politics to drive which explanation they think is the best with Havana syndrome, which is very different to the UFO thing.
I agree.
All right.
I mean, that's the thing about you, Mick, is when you... I don't just disagree with you by default ever. Like, I always listen to what you say, and then I'm like, okay, well, you're telling me this in a way that I hadn't thought about before. So I agree.
Same likewise with you. Like, I hadn't really thought that much about the degree of, the harm it might do with people, having their cult beliefs reinforced. I think about UFOs, I think in general people start distrusting the government more, and then they start believing in QAnon and things like that. But I guess it could be more specific, that they actually start believing in
it can be
in UFO type cults.
Yeah, I mean, it can be specific, or it can just be it can be things that you also don't necessarily see coming, which I think is an intelligence issue, right? Like, one of the things that the intelligence community does is that they try to foresee as best they can potential threats that can come down the road,
right?
Which is why it's especially bizarre to me, like, you guys are in the middle of manufacturing intentionally or not more stuff that could create potential issues for you down the road. And that's where I'm like, what the hell are y'all doing? Can you just get, can we get some semblance of sanity on this issue? We've got, right, because right now Barack Obama's come out and talked about it. Bill Nelson is talking about it all the time. You got serious scientists like Avi Loeb. You've got, and then you've got Lou Elizondo. And the government is not saying at any point Lou Elizondo is just some, they're not, it's complicated, right? But they're definitely not like just coming out and saying everything Lou Elizondo says is bullshit. They're not saying that. They're not completely discrediting him. They're doing little things all his emails were deleted. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, no, you, no, damn it. You just actually helped. Like, you're not confirming it one way or the other. In fact, what you just did is you just said we deleted all his emails. Therefore, you're kind of perpetuating the thing. Again, I'm not saying anything one way or the other. I'm an evidence-driven person. I think Lou Elizondo is sincere, you know, but if he is full of crap,
I would tend to think that.
If he's full of crap, then the government should do something about that. Yeah. You've got an
what is a government plant? Maybe he's he's like in the vanguard of this soft disclosure with Tom DeLonge and whatnot.
Well, and you know, it's hard to view any of this without coming to a conclusion where, like, some level of conspiracy almost must be involved, whether we're talking about a mundane, relatively small conspiracy or a large, grand conspiracy. Like, this is a tough one because there are so many moving pieces to it and so many things that have happened. You've got the Bigelow thing that led to the TTSA thing to the, now you've got an actual report. You've got the Senate Intelligence Committee actually looking. Now Avril Haines is actually talking about it on the record. More is coming. An office might be established. Like, it's so crazy how far this has all managed to get. If there's little to it. Yeah.
What do you think of Bill Nelson, the administrator of NASA, former senator, former astronaut? Is he a former astronaut?
Yeah. He's a former astronaut. Yeah. And yeah.
He went into space as a senator, I believe. Yeah. So, you know, my impression of him, just, I don't want to spoil your impression of him, but like, it seems a bit like, I don't know, flowery in his descriptions of things. He's talking about the miracles of nature and how wonderful the universe is and how there must be life somewhere. And he doesn't really give any nitty gritty nuts and bolts details. Like, he gives some very vague descriptions of the search for life. Like, there's a planet in another galaxy and that planet has a dot passed in front of it. And that means that it's, a star in another galaxy. But anyway, he gives these very vague things. But people got very excited when he talked about the possibility of extraterrestrial life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, perhaps, you know, less so than with Avril Haines. But, you know, what did you think about him, like his performance last night and his previous statements?
I think Bill Nelson seems to be someone who does have a personal interest in the subject. And I don't mean that in a negative way at all. I mean that in a, he just seems to. When he talks about it, he seems to be well aware of UFO history and lore, and seems to be he's interested. And I would also say another thing, which is, like, NASA has had difficulty funding things for a very long time. You know, obviously we're in the middle of a situation where, you know, the private space corporations are kind of getting more done than NASA is able to. So he's probably looking at a lot of this in terms of, like, how can I get the public excited in the same way that the public used to be excited about space? Well, damn, if I were in his position, I would probably be banking on alien life too as a thing that, like, because it is exciting. Like, it's like, and honestly, it's pretty good odds. Like, yeah, we'll probably eventually confirm, I don't even think this would be controversial for you. Like,
no,
eventually we probably will confirm there's some life out there somewhere, in all probability. And I think that for the head of NASA to come out and say, yeah, there probably is life out there and we're going to find it, from a funding perspective, is a pretty good bet. And I don't read a lot more into it than that. Now, when he does make specific comments about, I've read the UAP report and I knew about stuff before that, and I've talked to the pilots and I believe them, that's, again, that falls more into the, I think that's kind of irresponsible category, because unless if Bill Nelson has seen the unambiguously weird data, I don't see a justification necessarily for his commentary there. Other than, again, to sort of excite the public, to be excited about the idea, the potential possibility. But that's complicated, because it's like, if you're doing that without the unambiguously weird data, it's kind of a slimy move, I guess.
I think a lot of these people who are like, you know, the kind of higher ups who have become convinced, or, you know, people who have become convinced, like Chris Mellon and maybe Elizondo, and Nelson, I think partly they become convinced because of talking to the pilots.
Yeah.
I think this is, you know, talking to eyewitnesses, you know, this, mm-hmm. Jacques Vallée is convinced of the, you know, something because of all the people who have told him that something happened, and eventually he comes to believe it. And I think Bill Nelson probably feels like it's somewhat unambiguous because of all these high quality men and women who have given these reports, which I think, like, is a mistake.
It's so frustrating because, again, it's like the data is either there or it isn't. So the reason I pound on that issue is, like, especially with the Nimitz case, is the data would confirm it or not.
Right.
It's really actually, need. Yeah. And yeah, the idea that someone knows and then we're left with this, where people are debating it, is like, absolutely infuriating. And it's I don't see any good national security reason why we can't get that cleared up, because it's either unambiguously weird or not. But I guess again, that's what feeds into the UFO people thinking that there must be something to this, because they think, oh, well, the data's there, but they're scared to release it and blah, 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 blah. And that all adds up and everything they're doing makes sense. It's really easy to get there. And I don't go there. I try to stick to the basic questions, like, hey, government, what are you doing? Hey, government, like, what, you know, hey, representatives, are you sure that this is what you want to do? Because you haven't given mm-hmm. us the actual data to justify your actions. That's how I come at this. And some people like the fact that I come at it that way, and other people I really frustrate, because I'm kind of like not believer enough for the believers, and I'm not quite 100% full blown skeptic either. So I find myself in this like no man's land a lot of the time with this topic, where I'm really just coming at it in terms of like logic, rationality. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
You know, because I need things to make. Yeah, I just need it to make sense. Like, I'm happy to believe in aliens if there's unambiguously weird data, but I got to see that they Yeah.
I mean, there's a tautology. It's like something that must be true. If there's unambiguously weird data, then that's it. You know, we have that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think there's any scientists.
And let me say this. I agree with you. And this frustrates a lot of people. I agree with you that currently in the public realm, there is no unambiguously weird data that is unambiguously slam dunk proves the case unambiguously weird. It's mm-hmm. not out there currently. I agree with you. And that's why I appreciate your continued, you know, efforts in this realm, and you're continuing to follow and pay attention and debunk things as they come along, or in some cases say, I don't know, you know, with the Nimitz case,
things remain
ambiguous. You've said over and over again, you've definitely found places where you disagree with experts on the Nimitz case, but you have not come to some solid 100%. Yeah. I know what that was. So,
yeah. Well, my goal in investigating a case is to take ambiguous data and disambiguate it, and you know, say what that data actually means, and in an unambiguous way. And every time I've managed to do that so far, it has turned out not to be aliens or anything weird.
So
The other ones, you know, you never actually get over that hump mm-hmm. where it becomes unambiguously a weird thing, unambiguously, like, you know, moving faster than it could possibly move, or unambiguously mm-hmm. hovering without means of support, or unambiguously having little creatures popping their heads out of the top of it.
Right.
We never get that unambiguous, but we do get lots and lots of unambiguous disambiguation of things that become rather boring.
Yeah. And look, I think that there's a fair shot that maybe the government does have some data of something unambiguously weird. That's my personal feeling.
Yeah, maybe
it's possible. But when I'm looking at just right now, sort of the totality of this particular set of things that have played out, the actions are, in my opinion, not justified by what has been released so far to the public, is the way that I would put it. And again, that might be frustrating for some people. For some people, they're like, no, just do anything that we can. I'm like, no, we can't just do anything. We have to have a reason. And right. The reason needs to be grounded in something other than the pilot said. It needs to be, no, the pilot said, and the data shows, and that needs to be confirmed. And until maybe that, and maybe it is, but and until they can do that, it's hard for me to make a case to the general population, to regular people that I know in everyday life, that they should even care about this. It's really tough for me to do that. Now, my argument right now for why people should care is like, this is all really weird and I don't know what to do with it. Can you find a better, I want more people's eyes on it just because I can't figure it out. You can't figure it out. And it's all very bizarre. And, I hope that eventually that we'll get somewhere.
Maybe I should get on the Aerial and Transmedium Phenomenon Advisory Committee and help them figure stuff out.
Sure. I think that would be great,
All right. I'll put you down as one of my supporters.
There you go. Okay. I'll be the one on UFO Twitter that continues.
All right. So thank you very much. Is there anything else you'd like to say to frustrate your followers before we close out?
No, I think I've done enough of that. Look, the last thing I'll say is just, look, I appreciate you having me on, Mick. Hopefully, for at least some subsection of people, this will be kind of like proof that you reached out to me totally randomly to just like iron this out, our sort of disagreements or whatever. And it's so fantastic that you did that. And you're not the guy who a lot of people, think that you are. And, just keep doing what you do. And I think it's awesome. Nothing I want to plug right now. My show's on a hiatus. So.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mick.
Thank you. Thank you very much.